let the one stop. I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle.
The podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer.
I am Patrick Foisy, the addict.
I'm not you. You gotta say this part.
And I'm Ben Shulman, the dealer. And that was...
Sam Shulman.
That was Sam Shulman.
His brother.
I tried to... Just last second, I'm like, why don't you do the intro? Why don't you play the role of Ben Shulman today?
I'm glad it shows how often I've listened to the show, because I actually got it
right. The fact that, because literally, I think it was like well into like our 20th episode, I would still screw it up sometimes. Oh, yeah. The podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer.
There was a small part of me that thought that maybe you guys had recorded that and you were just playing a track, but I'm glad to see you still do it.
Oh, yeah, we still do
time.
It every single time. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, anyway, if you can't tell already, we have a guest today here at Addicted to the Needle. It is my flesh and blood, my younger brother, Sam. All the way here from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to sound like Nardwar from British Columbia.
Yeah. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Bonjour. Yeah.
It's a post-Hanukkah, pre-Christmas visit.
So this is officially our holiday special.
I guess so. And it's very joyous. You know, we figured why not bring another Jewish person to celebrate Christmas on the podcast. No, I love Christmas, man. There's lights and trees and Jesus Christ. And yeah, man, it's a good time. So what's going on, Pat?
Well, welcome to the show, Sam.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys remember this is my second time on the show now.
Yeah. We couldn't remember when the last one was.
It was 2 years ago. It was around this time.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out.
Pre-pandemic.
Yep.
Because that was a...
Remember
that? That was a ride. Remember before 2019?
I was trying to figure out what episode number that would have been. What are we at now? What are you guys at now?
76.
With a bullet. I don't know why I said that.
What is that?
I'll tell you exactly what that is. In the Temptations movie, when they get all excited because they hear the way you do the things you do on the radio for the first time, Otis Williams and Paul Williams walk in and he goes, number 76 with the bullet, because that was the thing on Billboard. Like, if it was climbing the charts, it would have a bullet. It did get
up. Shooting up.
Yeah, it did get up. I think the highest it charted was number 11. But he comes in and he goes, number 76 with a bullet. So I just thought about that.
That's
It is a cool thing to say. Yeah. That's like, I mean, you know, you grew up in the same house as me. You know how I can recite that entire film.
Yeah.
I used to have him pretend to be Dennis Edwards, and I would put on like fake glasses and be David Ruffin, and I would steal the microphone away from him.
Yeah.
He was five.
I remember that.
He just did whatever I told him. And it kind of makes sense now, because look at him now. He's a crazier record collector than I am.
Oh, so. I wouldn't say crazier. But no one can beat you in that department.
You're committed.
I'm committed.
Canadian 45s on Instagram.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Give
oh,
him
yeah.
a follow.
Check it out.
He knows something about the staccatos. Anyhow.
Thanks, Pat. Thank
a lot of
me.
Inside jokes here. But Sam...
That's what happens when you have two brothers on a show. But anyhow.
Sam, in my book, you're not a number 11 on the Billboard. You're a number one.
Oh, I didn't think I was going to get flattered this early on in the show. I'm blushing. You can't see it, but I'm blushing.
Pat is such a mensch. He really knows how to butter you up.
Well, thank you, Pat.
So we have... another special guest that we might hear during the podcast, and that's a new dog is in the house. In the house.
Who let the dogs in?
And so you were greeted at the door by Simba.
The little floof.
So Simba is a Pomeranian?
Pomeranian. How would you say it? Just say it in a French accent. There you go.
So
there you go. I believe it is a region in Poland that is
really
used. Yeah, Pomerania.
From?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's the size, basically the size of my hand.
And he's really cute. Usually tiny dogs like that look ratty, but like he looks like a stuffed animal or like a toy.
Like a little lion.
He's so cute.
So he's probably more of a celebrity than us on our tiny little podcast, because he's the dog. We're dog sitting for one of our neighbors in the building, and the name might not ring a bell. So our neighbor is Guillaume Cisseron. And Guillaume Cisseron is a silver medalist Olympian.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. So he, when he's out doing...
Olympic shit?
Yeah. Well,
just out being sporty?
Out doing, you know, the national competitions.
Wow.
We are the... The godparents.
You were the official dog sitters of the Canadian Olympics.
Wait, sorry, which sport?
Well, not the Canadian. Not the Canadian Olympics.
Wait, hold on. What sport? Hold on.
Skating? Yeah, he does couples ice dancing.
Oh,
that's cool.
Oh, the dog makes sense now. I could picture someone who skates having a dog like that. I don't know. It just seems like a skatey.
Well, I thought you were going to say that it's like one of those like Instagram dogs that's like has like 40,000 followers or something.
No, does it not?
Because like I was hoping that would be the case, and then we could get the dog to plug our podcast.
Because that
looks like the kind of dog that would have its own Instagram page with like several thousand followers.
I'll try to take a picture with one of the records you sell me on the show with the dog.
Simba.
With Simba. So no, he's actually competing for France.
Oh, okay.
The reason...
As a Canadian?
No, as a Frenchman. Oh, okay. He's so from France.
Uh-huh. Okay, he's French.
And he's... I think, three Olympians in our building.
Wow. Including you.
All, and ice dancing.
Hey, you used to do water polo in, like, 1985. I remember. I wasn't born yet, but I remember.
Oh, yeah. I got really
You say this guy's... His name's Guillaume...
Cisseron.
That's good. Yeah, that also just doesn't sound like a Quebecois person's last name. That does sound super French.
Yeah, so him and his partner won the silver medal in the last Olympics, and only because they got beat by the Canadians.
Nice.
Because they decided for one last time to get out of retirement and do one last Olympics. So Guillaume doesn't like that Canadian couple very much.
So like when they skate, like they do it to music, right?
They do it to music.
Because for some reason, all I can picture is just like, I've had the time of my life. Just like that scene from Dirty Dancing, and he catches her, and you know, one puts baby in a corner, skating.
Yeah, that's what the Olympics are.
That's what the Olympics
are. That's all they do.
That's all the Olympics is. They just skate around to Bill Medley and whatever. What was the woman's name on that song? It's not important, but she had the time.
My wife could tell you.
I'm definitely... That's a big, what was that, 1987? Great movie. Anyway.
But ice dancing is a bit different than figure skating. Figure skating, you have like twirls and you throw your partner in the air. Mm-hmm. They just dance. They don't do jumps.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Huh. So that's the big difference.
I learned something new today. I had no idea that there was two different things here.
I guess the ice dancing is the less popular of the two. Like the big figure skating event is the pairs, the couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wish
we had like The Skate by Dean Parrish to play now or something. Or, you know, one of those 8,000.
You know I could
Skate and Shingling by Lou Courtney or whatever.
You know I could edit it in.
You probably will. And it's just as we're talking about it right now, it just slowly creeps in like a little bit louder. A little bit louder. Like, get on the floor and skate. Anyway, enough. Doing it with folks, baby. They're doing it in the hall. They're doing it up on the wall. They're doing it in the air. They're doing it everywhere. Come on, skate now, children. Come on, skate now, children. Come on, skate now, children. Do the skate now, children. I say to mamas and the papas, they're doing it. Sisters and right, so Simba, where is Simba? Like, I don't see this little. He's very small. It's very easy to lose track of his whereabouts
check,
in your check apartment.
Check Guillaume Cisseron skating for France during the next Olympics. They're one of the top three in the world. So,
so we have a celebrity dog here in attendance. We have Sam from Vancouver and a celebrity dog. How fun.
I probably rank a little lower in interest than the dog, honestly. The dog's really cute.
Who needs another record collector here?
So I think we should toast to that. What do you think, Sam?
I think we should. And I was going to try to pull a Pat and not announce, but also announce a segue, because we were talking about ice and cold, and that kind of relates to beer. Oh, my goodness. There's a sound for that.
Segue alert. Oh, yeah.
Right, I actually did hear that on the last show. I forgot.
Yeah, Pat missed his calling in life of being the next Howard Stern.
So I wanted to say thanks for having me on the show again. So I brought a six pack of my favorite white beer,
Dépanneur beer.
Dépanneur beer when I'm in Quebec, Hoegaarden. It's actually a Belgian beer, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds Flemish. Beige. Flemish.
Anyways, have you had this before, Pat?
Yeah.
Oh, you've had Hoegaarden. Ben, you must have had Hoegaarden.
Brasse Bar InBev Belgium on Stoepkenstraat.
So hand me a... We have enough for everybody.
Yeah, we got
oh my God, there's enough for everybody. Shout out to the Gruesomes.
Yeah, sorry, I heard you guys.
Every time we ever have a beer on this show again, I'll be shouting out to those Kennedy brothers, Bobby and Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no spilling this time.
All right, chug.
Yeah, you got to finish the whole thing.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Santé.
Yeah. So it's a white.
A la salut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that song. Tito Puente, A la Salud. It's like an old, it's like a Latin.
Boogaloo.
Yeah, it's from like the Latin 50s. Yeah. It's like from like late 50s. Like, A la Salud. Dun, 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 dun. I have, actually, it's like one of the Latin records I actually
and
kept.
And here's another clip. There you go. So you just
that's what just happened.
That's funny. I was like, "What the
wow,
hell?"
Wow, you really get to understand the magic that goes on behind the scenes after the show's recorded.
All right. Anyway,
oh, here we go.
Let's play a real record now.
We always talk too much. Speaking of Latin soul, let's not play a Latin. It's not a.
No, it's a false.
You were too trigger happy with your freaking siren. You should have that one. What's that? Like the one that's like the, you know, like the classic siren. Like it's like in every rap song. Yeah, like Anyhow, this is not Latin soul record. This is a big Northern soul record that I was looking at today, and I said I don't need to own this anymore. Let's just sell it to Pat. Also, I got bills to pay. So this is one of those big Northern records. It's on the 20th Century Fox record label from 1965. It is called "I Gotta Find Me Somebody" by a girl group called the Velvets, not to be confused with the Velvelettes of Motown infamy. This is the Velvets. I have a feeling this is you're gonna make one of your Northern Soul faces, and it's one of those things you're gonna be like, if I ever go to England, gonna need to bring this with me.
I think I've heard this record before, but
let's all hear it again.
Let's hear it live.
What you want and now you're gone.
Ben.
Merry Christmas!
That was the most generous gift I ever received for Christmas. I mean, you're the best.
Yeah, what a nice guy.
Yeah, you know me just giving away Northern Soul 45, I'll give you a Christmas discount. You know, this record is so good that even Sam, you know this.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah, recognize it right away. That's a terrific. Wow.
Yeah, I was screaming. Ooh,
yeah,
before even
I could always tell I've hit it when it's a track that you know but don't have yet. You know, it's like something that you've heard on a Northern Soul playlist like 100 times. Mm-hmm. We always talk about that, like the top 100 or like top, like that's up there. That's like a big one, and I scored that like a couple of months ago. And obviously, you know, I enjoyed listening to it a number of times alone in my basement, dancing by myself, playing my guitar. And I was just kind of flipping through. I was like, when it gets to a point where it kind of got buried in a box under another box, and I'm just like, okay, I had my time with it. It can move on to the person who's actually going to DJ it in public. So that's my philosophy with that.
No, you handed it to me, and you know how I have a hard time telling the difference between styrene and vinyl?
That's vinyl, baby.
I can tell.
Thick.
It's thick.
It's like,
it's
Sam,
heavy.
Hold it. It's like, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It's just such tell. A thick... and I think with 20th Century, because they did do styrene pressings too. I don't know if there is a styrene pressing of this record. It's also a white label promo.
And it's in
copy.
The appropriate company sleeve.
It's actually
nice,
not in the appropriate...
It's distributed by ABC Paramount. It says right there. Distributed by ABC Paramount.
Oh shit!
It's on the correct sleeve.
Oh wow! You know what's funny? Because I was actually trying to I have like 20 different boxes, like little record carriers of sleeves, of company sleeves, and I was, because there is a 20th Century sleeve, but I get, oh shit!
I know. Well, yeah, it's distributed.
I didn't. Yeah. Wow.
When you bought it, was it in that sleeve?
Yeah.
So it was probably the original.
Oh wow!
Sleeve.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow, Sam is outshining you.
Oh yeah, I tell people all the time. They're like, I saw your brother's Instagram. I'm like, yeah, no, he officially is. You know.
He's taking over.
Him and I could talk to each other and be like, did you see the font on that quality record? I'm pretty sure that was December 64 before they... We're
simpatico.
Yeah, we're
that's
not,
the word.
We're not well.
Well.
Anyway, so I imagine that's a taker.
That's a yes.
There's the little doggy.
There's Simba.
Oh, he's so cute. Oh, wonderful. All right, well...
So, since you were so generous in offering this beautiful Christmas gift...
I think you keep saying that like it's free. Like, and like I'm like the old Jewish miser here. Like you think it's free? No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
It's my turn. You know, I was talking to. I have to give a shout out to Mon Marty, who listened to the last episode because I told him.
Was that the one where you said? Was that the last episode where you said he doesn't listen anymore because he's
jealous?
Oh, come on.
So we had to talk. So we talked on the phone last night, and where was I going with that? I was asking him because I wished him a happy Hanukkah. He goes, "Oh, it's over," and I go, "Oh, okay, sorry." We're talking about gifts for Christmas, and he goes, "Oh, my kids, you know, they got 8 nights of gifts."
Yeah.
Nice. So I don't know what's the whole etiquette about, you know, giving gifts on Hanukkah or, you know, well, obviously like in our family, we give each other gifts on Christmas Eve.
I mean, now that we're adults, it's like, here's socks or like.
Well, like when we were kids, we would get like a little tchotchke every night.
Yeah, it was like maybe you got like one sizable gift and then like we were pretty easy kids. Like, you know, if my dad gave me, if he gave us like a Hot Wheel or something every night for like, but like that was like.
And then on the eighth night, you get like, I don't know, like a bigger thing. Like
yeah, it was like you'd get like one size. well, actually,
in Ben's case.
Hanukkah, hold on, 2004, Hanukkah 2004. Oh man, dad got me. The Miracles doing Mickey's Monkey.
Oh, nice.
From Beatnik, and it was $60. And I remember Dad saying, "Who the hell would spend $60 on a record?"
That's outrageous.
And I remember because it was on the wall at Beatnik, and I was 12, and all I wanted in the world was this record. Got it. Oh man, that was exciting. They did that cover of the Wawa
like
Tusi, and they did the Monkey Tie. They did the Major. It was all Monkey songs. Oh man!
So now that the cat is out of the bag, you're going to sell me that record for $60.
Sure. No, a disclaimer. The prices discussed on this show are full of shit, and I overcharge Pat for every record that he ever buys for me. What? Who said that? No, I'm kidding. We just joke here. Yeah, sure, $60.
Well,
I'm gonna find somebody. Hey, it's catchy, right?
Wow, one half a beer of what it does to Ben. So,
yeah.
Well, you know what? No strings attached. I'm gonna give you a gift. So we're gonna do something we've never done before. We're gonna travel with the mics.
For fuck's sake! Okay.
And we're gonna go the man cave, and I'm gonna reveal the gift I have for you.
Oh boy!
Now, the sneaky little devil I am, I contacted your fiance Taryn.
I know her.
Yeah. And we've discussed this said gift.
Oh, God.
To make sure it was appropriate and you'd appreciate it. And she was really excited and overjoyed. So thanks for the vote of confidence, Taryn.
I'm scared.
So the reason why I want to go downstairs with the mics is that I want to present the gift to you. And hear your live reaction.
See, you always put so much thought into gifts for me where I just go, here's a record for free. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. But that's now, probably just a reflection of who we really are as people.
But just so you know, when you go downstairs, which one is your gift?
I hope it's a puppy. If you get downstairs, it turns out Simba actually is Simba. Actually for you. I think Hank needs a dog. 180th the size.
Just so you know what the gift is, as soon as you see something with a big white bow on it, you'll know it's yours.
All right, so now we're going to, with the microphones, we're going to get
so pick up your microphone.
Yeah, I just came here to make this more complicated.
Yep,
so
yep.
There's three
okay,
of us
so,
doing this maneuver.
Dear God. Hey, but it's fun. It gives people an insight into what it's like when three guys try to walk down stairs together
while they're
with a bunch of wires.
I feel like I'm
so
like
that's working. So we're walking.
Okay. I'm walking. All
right, follow me, guys.
Indeed, I'm walking.
You'll
Sam,
never
who
walk
sings
alone,
who but... sings that song? Who sings I'm walking? I'm walking.
Is it Roger Miller?
No, it's Fats Domino.
Nancy Sinatra.
Nancy. Oh, these boots are made for schlepping. And that's just,
just
what
got
they'll
the Muguet
do.
So we're
Muguet.
Walking down the stairs.
There are three French versions of that song.
We are walking downstairs.
Muguet, Dominic
Michel. So you don't see anything with a bow now, right?
No, but I see
so
your stacks gonna, box that I forgot to.
So we're going to go around the corner, and you should see it right away.
Round every corner.
Follow me.
Did you get me this beautiful scooter?
Nope.
Oh. Are you giving me your bass finally? Could you imagine? That'd be a great gift. I have multiple questions.
Oh.
So it's a television.
So it's a 42-inch HD TV for your basement.
Wow. Thanks.
A Panasonic Viera. So a high quality.
Where did you, did it fall off a truck or something? Or
no, I upgraded.
Wow.
It's yours.
That's no one's ever gotten me a TV.
Yeah,
before.
That's like what a gift.
That's
I don't
really,
even know what to say. That's really
wow. Nice. Thanks. Wow.
There you go.
It so, works?
Of course it does.
Wow.
It's a very, for back when I bought it, it was like the top of the line.
We're all just shuffling over to look at it closer.
So, wow. Pat, this used to be your TV.
Was this the TV? Was this that was the one upstairs.
Upstairs, right? Yeah.
Wow.
So I upgraded to 4K, but this is a HD TV.
Ben, what's the first thing you're going to watch on it?
Probably Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Nice.
I love that show.
So this is a stand.
Or Seinfeld.
And it was perfect that Sam was coming because you get to carry it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I brought my personal schlepper with me. Hey, do you ever see his... Look at all those boxes up there.
Yeah, I've seen that. And aren't they color-coded by genre?
Yep.
If I remember
correctly. So the orange boxes are reggae, ska, yellow, Quebec, French, red or soul... The brown ones over there are all mod jazz instrumentals. So basically, that's it.
Wow. So now I'm the proud. That's so generous. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Do you not have a TV?
I don't have a TV. No. We have a TV in our living room.
You never need to leave the basement.
No, I don't. Now my records can watch TV with me.
Yeah.
I'll just sit there with my Jackie Chan 45s and be like, "This is Larry David."
Now there's.
That's enough out of me.
Well, you know what? I lied. There is a string attached to this gift.
Pat's gonna be like, I can come watch television in your basement anytime I want.
There you go. I wouldn't go that far. You have to invite me over. I've never been to your house, so.
Oh, Pat's never been to your house?
Most of my closest friends have still never been to my house. Mainly because of the COVID thing. Then the other fact being that my dog is insane. Yeah. And like, also, I'd be so.
Was his excuse before COVID. So.
Well, before COVID. We only got the house trick. Okay, anyway, I'm not having this discussion. I'm going to play a bass solo.
Let's walk back up. All right. So, Taryn approved. And
thanks, Taryn. Thank you for convincing Pat to give us a television. That's like really. I wish I had an electronic product to give to you.
So up the stairs here, you're going to see the new TV. So this is the new TV.
Ooh.
Right there.
That TV just screams, I want to sit down and watch Big Brother. Also, I really like this Canada Dry thing. That's new.
It's a Canada Dry Christmas wreath publicity from probably the 60s or 70s.
You know what's funny? Nice. I only recently just fell in love with ginger ale as
a
beverage. I've become obsessed with it. I never cared for it.
It's the only soft drink I'll ever drink.
It's so good.
And I find if I have an upset stomach, you drink a little bit of ginger ale, feeling like 100 bucks.
It was like for a limited time this summer, they had this cranberry ginger ale.
Ooh.
Like Canada Dry. Oh, God. I don't know, just like Taryn and I were at like a friend's country house this summer, and like they just had ginger ale there, and I took a sip, and I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life.
You like gin and tonics, right?
That's my favorite drink.
Do a gin ginger ale. That's a good drink.
I've never thought of that.
In the meanwhile, I'm going to take a sip of beer.
Yeah,
let's all do that.
Let's have a little drinky poo.
Drinky poo. Okay, Mr. Leahy.
Gin. Merry holidays.
Happy holiday. Oh, there's that little dog. Ooh. Ginger ale and gin.
Yeah, you're gonna mull that
sounds
over. Good.
Let's stop at one of those tonight. Let's stop at the brass. Let's stop at the Brasserie Fredmere on the way home. Pat knows it well.
Of course.
I just always have found so crazy how you and I, technically the three of us,
grew up in the same.
That's right. We did grow up in the same house. I remember when you were born. It was. Here's a fun story for the podcast. I didn't like Sam until he was 5 years old. I used to ask my mother to bring him back to the hospital. I hated him as a child.
And look at us now.
I don't know.
Look at that sweet face there.
I know. I wouldn't eat in the same room as him.
Yeah.
It was crazy. True. I don't know. I was also like, my parents show us old home videos, and I look at them and I go, how did you not have me committed? I was a not well child.
Makes sense why you've never invited me to your home.
Okay. Let's.
All right, Ben. This is an intervention.
This is an intervention.
That's why
Ben,
Pat invited me.
Ben, you're a piece
show.
Of shit. Nobody's ever liked you.
No, we love you here on Addicted to the Needle.
Oh, thank you.
Just here on Addicted
just
to the
here.
Needle.
No. Oh, God. You know the pandemic and with the way the economy has been going.
And the political landscape.
Yeah, the political landscape.
It's a lot. For guests.
I don't know how to operate as a regular human.
I'll save you from this one and
come
ask
over. Just show up.
Sam, if you brought some wax for our listening ears.
Yes, I actually did. Well, I didn't really. Like, I came from Vancouver to Montreal
tell the whole story.
Without bringing any records.
We'll let you talk.
Thanks.
Here's your 5 minutes in the sun.
Oh, wow. Hello, world. Okay, so... So yeah, I didn't actually bring any records with me to Montreal, but very recently, about a few weeks ago, I sent Ben a record. Did we trade or I don't even
know. Yeah, I sent you the Femi Nedo.
Yeah, so I did a little trade with Ben. We trade every now and then. And I sent him a record here, and believe it or not, the group is called Sea Poop.
Like, what?
Look at the label.
Like Sea Poop. SEE-poop.
Didn't you post this? I think you didn't.
You posted it on. Didn't you post?
No, I haven't posted this yet. Actually, okay. I was going to post it after this podcast, like maybe tomorrow. So.
Oh yeah. So remember to take a picture of it.
Yeah. So like I'll tell you the quick version of the long story of this record. So this record was produced by a gentleman named Ron Dykoff, who you've probably never heard of, but he was from Montreal, just like us, and he was part of a group called The Scepters.
Yeah, some of their records, sure, and then they did some stuff in French too.
Yeah. So they were on Allied. RCA. And then RCA Victor, but by the time they were on RCA, I think.
Ron and don't forget, they were also on Alliance. They did a French 45
with Marty Hill.
They
yes, did with Marty Hill. Ensemble.
Good thing we're bringing up Marty Hill because I'm going to play a Marty Hill record later. Oh, but anyway,
nice,
there you go.
Yeah, nice. So anyway, so what happened is a fellow collector in Ontario was selling this record, and I saw Ron's name on it, and I'm like, I've never heard of this. I'm so curious. So I did some digging, and I found Ron's email, and I emailed him. Am I related to Ben? Yes.
Are we related or what?
So I ended up getting Ron's email, and I said, hey, Ron, do you remember this 45? So the funny story is that this 45 came out with two different artist names. There's one version of this 45. It looks the exact same on
it's
Apex.
It's on the Apex on label, Apex. Which is a Canadian label. Yeah, actually made here in Montreal.
Exactly,
Compo record
exactly. So there's one version of this record where the band is called Evolution, which is kind of a
which
cool name.
Which sounds way cooler than Sea Poop.
Yeah, so there's one version called Evolution, and then they changed their name to Sea Poop, and obviously it wasn't very successful. So anyway, so I email Ron saying, hey, do you remember making this record by Evolution and or Sea Poop? And he just writes back being like, wow, yeah, I haven't thought about that in years. That's so funny. How do you know about this? So we start emailing back and forth, and turns out he also moved to Vancouver, just like me, a guy from Montreal living in Vancouver. So this was during the pandemic, so it took us a while, but after a couple of months, we finally got together for a coffee. And he was just thrilled that someone was interested in his career and talking about, you know,
that's
all the records he
that's
produced.
Usually how it goes. These yeah. guys are usually... more often than not just like so humbled when like someone who's 50 years younger than them comes to them and is like, hey, like yeah. I want to know more about these records you produced.
Exactly. So I should mention, so he was in the Scepters for like from 1963 until about 1966, and then he went off and
was he not with them when they did the record on Polydor, like that Juicy Morning thing?
No
he left by then. Oh, okay.
And then he went off and had like a solo career, mostly producing records, and he told me, he said, I would kind of just produce anything I could get my hands on. He was actually working for a time in Toronto in the same offices as, I want to say, Art Snyder. That makes sense?
Yeah,
timeline-wise.
Sound Canada.
Yeah, exactly. He was working in the same offices as Sound Canada. Anyway, so he would kind of just produce anything. And this is one of the 45s that, I guess, like, landed in his care. And if you're a fan of, like, Montreal history, I mean, Pat, you're familiar with the musical Hair?
Yeah.
Which was a big
From
production
69,
in...
69, yeah.
Yeah, there was a big production of that in Montreal.
That's right.
It's a Broadway show.
Was it Place des Arts at the time or not? No.
I don't remember. It might have been Monument National where
yes.
it played. I think
it was
Monument National.
But yeah, there was a big production of it in Montreal in 1969.
Yeah, and I think it was a bilingual production, or there was an English version and a French version. There was
that part I didn't know.
So there was an English version and a French version, and the only actor who played in both roles... he played the same role in the English version and the French version, was a guy named Ian Sebastian, who had various 45s also on Apex, and he was in this band Sea Poop, I believe.
There you go. So, a little Montreal history. So Ron wasn't sure if these guys were from, they were from Montreal?
Yeah, 100%. 100% these guys are from Montreal.
So
name is, on the writing credits, is Legault, McCown, and Cattle Famo. So it sounds like, you know.
Which makes sense. A Frenchman, a Scotsman, and an Italian. That sounds very.
Just walk into a studio.
Yeah, I mean, talk about Montreal. You got a bit of everybody.
Exactly.
You know?
And Ian Sebastian, he was originally from England.
Wasn't he?
He was English.
Okay,
but
I'm
he moved
thinking.
Here very young.
Okay. So interesting to know, because again, none of us knew this until 6 months ago, that there was a band from Montreal called Sea Poop.
Sea Poop.
They went from Evolution, which is a pretty cool name, to Sea Poop. So we did a trade. So I got this record from you, which is cool. So Ron ended up giving you a lot of these records.
Yeah. Right? So anyways, Ron was so excited that someone, you know, like wanted to talk about this stuff. And he said to me, I have like every 45 I ever worked on. And I just want them digitized. And this is what he told me. He's a very funny character. He said, when I die, I want someone to Google Ron Dykoff and just find my music and enjoy it. I said, that's beautiful. That's fantastic.
I have a bunch of them on my YouTube channel already.
Exactly. I told him that. So I said, listen,
that's
Ron.
So cool, yeah.
I'll take your 45s. I'll put them on my turntable. I'll digitize them.
Yeah.
So I did that for him. And he said, you know, to say thank you, any doubles I have, you can just keep whatever you want. Which was super, just very nice of him.
Good deal.
So I took the doubles out and I gave him back everything else. And he was... the look on his face when he hit play on his, you know, his iTunes and heard his own music coming out of his computer. He was so happy. And we still keep in touch. And he's just a great guy. Well,
it's like the videos I have in my phone of when I went to meet Al Rain, talking about Sound Canada and Art Snyder, the guy in Toronto who did the Tierras records and Ernie Lyons and the Allen Sisters, countless things. Like, he didn't have a CD player in his house, so we went and sat in his car where he had some of his music on CD, and just like the look on his face, like, Ben, bubble, Ben, listen to this, listen to the chord change here. And I'm just like, this almost sounded like Frank Costanza, Serenity Now. Like, he's just this wacky old Jewish guy. And, but there is something, the same thing, like, you know, when I go and sit with like Dean Hagopian, who did tons of records in Montreal in the 60s and was on the radio. And it's just like, it's always fun to see these guys reliving something they did so long ago, and that there is like a renewed appreciation for it. It's really fun. So and it's amazing that Ron, you know, that you got to link up with him. And
And he's still performing. He's a fantastic piano player. I think up until COVID, he was playing at hotels and on cruise ships across the world and in Vancouver. So
it goes to show how that passion for, it's like these people weren't like totally destroyed by not making it as superstars in the business. Like, they still enjoy playing music. Absolutely. You know, it's like, you know, the Scepters did reasonably well being a Montreal band in the 60s. I mean, that I Never Had a Love Like That single sold thousands of, you know, it played on the radio. They weren't the Beatles, but, you know, it goes to show it's really cool that they still have a passion for performing and playing music and stuff.
Absolutely. Know? And it's funny that you mentioned Marty Hill earlier, because Ron and Marty Hill still keep in touch, and he's another
character. Well, isn't that how we ended up talking to Marty Hill?
Talking to Marty Hill. But anyway, these are probably people that none of you have heard of, and we're just going to go on for
way too long. This is just Montreal history. So let's hear C-Poop. So what side are we playing?
So there's two sides. We're going to play the Love You Threw
Away. Really? Are there two sides on 45?
Could you believe?
I had no idea. So this, what's this track called? So it's called
The Love You Threw Away. It's an original.
The Love You Threw Away. So this is an original composition. And if I'm not mistaken, the B-side, for some reason, is a Jay and the Americans cover and not one of their... Not Sunday and Me or This Magic Moment, some record.
But this original side, too, it's very, if I remember correctly, it's kind of Merseybeat. They kind of sound like a British group.
Interesting.
It's a great sound.
It's, you know, 1969. Let's hear what a bunch of kids from Concordia University, or I'm sorry, Sir George, as it would have been called at the time, sounded like. C-Poop in 1969. C-Poop.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to say something.
It's not over.
Oh. It's not over. See, when you say false, that's not a... Oh, wait, that is a false end. Anyway, whatever. We're chatting.
Now it's over.
Now it's over.
I was trying to warn you.
And you did, yeah. But...
It's not coming through.
Anyway. Well, I got to tell you, for a band called...
Sea Poop.
Sea Poop.
Sea Poop.
Doesn't sound like shit at all.
Really?
Pretty good.
I think it's kind of shitty.
Wait, do you not like it? There's like a sick guitar solo.
It's, no.
I like
no.
The fuzz.
The fuzzy solo.
No, it's,
nice.
It's fine. It's.
It sounds like a bunch of kids trying to sound like a.
It sounds. Like a it sounds. It leans more towards like a sunshiny like.
Yeah, it's sunshine not garage pop. Rock.
But no, yeah. It's cool. And the thing is, it's like if it wasn't a Montreal record, I wouldn't give a shit about. Neither. Well, I mean, yeah. Actually, if it wasn't Canadian, or from like the Northeast or the North, if it was from Tennessee, I wouldn't care about it. But if it was Vermont, I would think it's cool. That's how this brain functions. No, it's an okay. It's a curiosity, you know. It's cool.
And it puts a smile on your face. And
isn't it just kind of funny to think that it's like a record so obscure, literally came out two times with two different band names?
Yeah, and this is probably the first time it's ever been broadcast.
And this is 100% the first time it's ever been featured anywhere. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, so shout out to Ron Dykhoff, a.k.a. Ron Van Dyke.
And speaking of old-timey Montreal people, we had briefly mentioned Marty Hill before, who Ron got Sam in touch with, and Sam and I chatted with Marty Hill a couple of times, and that guy was...
He's a character.
He's a character. I mean, he's from Montreal. What is he, 82?
Oh, is that old?
Yeah, he's 82 or 83. And like he grew up in like a religious Jewish family here in Montreal.
He started singing in synagogue.
Like I think his father was a cantor in the synagogue or something. And
known under many names.
Well, his real name is Martin Hillman. Mm-hmm. So then he shortened it to Marty Hill, went down to the States and did records on Atco, Brunswick,
Columbia.
Caprice, Columbia, recorded for a ton of labels in the States. Yeah. Came back to Montreal, then started a bunch of French labels like Les Disques Beaumont.
Right.
And
under Martin Martin.
Under Martin Martin, but also still kind of using Marty Hill sometimes because you do see the Hill name on a lot of French records. Then he went by Martin Martin, where he did records on MGM and RCA. And then he started another label called Trax Records. This guy just kind of did it all. And then including the classic Say Shalom, which is that's a fun little song. Then he left the music scene completely and moved to Israel, where he joined the army and lived in Israel for like 20 years, then lived in Florida for 20 years, and now is back in Montreal, in Laval, at 83 years old.
Which is the suburbs of Montreal.
Yes, the island directly north. So there's this
second biggest city in Quebec.
Yeah, that's always weird to think about. True. It is true, though. Yeah. So anyhow, most of his records are pretty easy to locate, except this one that I had been looking for at least 10 years.
Oh,
This is a big favorite of Sam's. Sam, you're kind of like a Marty Hill.
Yeah, this guy. Yeah, I love everything this guy's ever done, and I know which record you're about to play. And I don't have a Canadian pressing. I've got a nice promo American
US promo
with the promo sheet too, which is cool. But I would die for a nice Canadian copy. But here you go.
So I've been looking for this forever, and I finally found it last weekend. This is a track called Mr. Oracle of Love by Marty Hill on Columbia Records, Canadian pressing. His record from 61, I'd say 61, 62,
probably
61.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it, and I want to, you'll give me your reaction after we hear it. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, talk about a record that's probably never been played anywhere.
Well, I mean, this is pretty big on the Belgian scene.
It's big on the popcorn scene, but anyhow, the only other radio show you may have ever heard it on is like Mr. Fine Wine's Downtown Soulville, maybe. Yeah. Anyhow, without further ado, more Montreal-related music. Marty Hill, Mr. Oracle of Love.
How much love can you see? Be there with the golden brown hair.
Now, Ben, remember our biggest controversy on this podcast when I played a schmaltzy...
the Howard Johnson rest stop
I think schmaltzy. It was called the Golden Morn.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that far from that sound.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's probably one of my favorite 45s ever.
You can't even compare. You had half a beer and you're making drastically horrible
decisions. I'm offended. I'm leaving the podcast.
Oh my God, that is not even close.
No, okay, let the man speak. Go on, Pat. Go on.
Listen, I liked the other one.
Yes, true,
obviously, I'm going to like this one.
Yeah.
I'm not dishing it.
I wasn't really. The thing with the other one, that's the thing we kind of talked about in the Gruesomes episode with like the Les Différents thing, where it's like there's something about the amateurishness of those records that makes them special, but it's like. What goes through my mind when I hear a record like we just played is like, this is such a beautiful
arrangement
with string players and like, and you're like, it reminds me of the Gas Station record. I get where you're coming from.
I mean,
from.
Marty Hill did have some pretty schmaltzy.
Oh yeah. Oh, a lot of Marty Hill's records suck.
Like, you can't say this is not like crooner.
Yeah.
Schmaltzy.
You
can't deny
this falls into and what he was going for, because look, like leading by example of like the reason he went down to the States is because he saw how much success someone like Paul Anka was having.
Of course.
A lot of the records he made are very much that sound that we just heard is just like impeccable. That is like an impeccable record. That is how this wasn't a hit. Because it's so beautiful, it's vibrant, and like,
God damn it, listen to me.
No! I'm mad! Serenity now!
My whole point I've made from the beginning is that there's a very fine line where there's a gray area where it can go either way.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of millimeters.
I disagree. I see genre-wise where it's like, yes, are they two white guys? Absolutely. Like...
Well, think about it. If this record didn't have those lush string arrangements and it was more of a vocal thing...
Oh, it'd still be cool.
He has a great voice.
He does have a great voice. Also, just like Mr. Oracle of Love.
The subject matter is
pretty cool,
too. That's
just such a freaking great title. Again, it's like, what was the record called again? Do the Howard Johnson Stomp by White Guy and the White Boys from Kansas City, Missouri?
The Golden Morn.
Oh, yeah. Interstate 65 Pancake Breakfast, $3.99 Egg Special, Come On Down. Was that what it was called again?
I'm gonna stand,
Mr. Oracle. What was it called? The Greenhorn. I've got my
the
green
Golden
horn.
Morn.
I've got my green horn. I'm kidding. I understand what you're saying, but like, look,
I'm not dissing.
I'm not even gonna let you compliment it. It's so
I'm
good.
I'm not dissing this at all because I love this.
I saw that. I saw
I
your
love
face.
It.
I know. I know. I'm just pulling
I totally your leg. Love it. And you made a comment during. While we were listening to it, you go, oh, this is so James Bond.
It is.
I totally agree.
Secret agent-y.
And I'm gonna stand my ground. There will always be a very fine line. Between
yeah, there's a very fine
very
line
corny
between a good record and a bad record. Like there's a very fine line.
All right, I'm gonna have to play mediator here and calm you. You both make very valid points.
No. You're right. But the thing, and like I can see where. Because like we always talk about this with Northern Soul records, where it's like some of them are just like, oh my God, this isn't soul music. This is so schmaltzy. And it's like, I can see where there are definitely purists in the soul world who would hear something like that and go like, oh, this is just schmaltzy. To me, forget the genre and putting it in a box. It's like, that is just an amazing record. Fuck if it's R&B or it's popcorn or whatever some fucking guy in Belgium calls it. Like, that is just a fucking beautiful, beautiful song. Right?
I don't disagree.
There we go.
And I agree. He doesn't disagree and I agree.
Anyway, we're all worked up. I've had a beer and a half. I'm pissed off. No, I'm kidding. Anyhow, It's fun. It's fun to get. It's fun when we, because we never fight about anything, but you're still going on about your Golden Hornet trumpet Exit 85 pancake breakfast.
Okay, well, that means I love that record. I'm glad you guys played it on the show. It's one of my favorites. So thank
Sam's,
you.
Sam's like, I'm sick of hearing you talk. We're gonna get in the car after, and I'm gonna be like, that fucking Pat with this Golden Hornet. I'm kidding.
Because you know, it's hard to define what cool is. For me,
that's cool.
This is cool.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And I'm referring to the next record we're going to play, my featured record.
Ooh. So this is one, if I'm not mistaken, you've been like waiting on for a while. And like, yes. Okay.
It's a big one. And for me, that one also, you know, defines cool.
Yeah. Mm.
But I'm not sure if we did a Vox Pop in the streets and go, is this cool? The one, you know, Marty Hill. They go, this is corny. You know, it's
small. I could see where.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's mod as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's I love it.
Listen, if I was trying to sell the record on eBay, I'd be like, it's mod, R&B, popcorn. Popcorn, R&B, mod, soul, stomper, new breed. Yeah! in all caps. Absolutely. So now let's compare it to your selection. So what have you got for our ears?
So as you were walking out Park Avenue HQ.
Oh, yes. I forgot about this.
Last episode. I just casually told you, oh, I'm waiting on a record for the next episode. And it's a well-known singer, and it's his first record. And then you said...
Is it Tracy by Barry White?
I go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
That's fucking mental. Just,
well, because you said you're like, it's the first record by a guy who had a lot of hits in the 70s. Oh, and just immediately I was like, oh, it's probably that.
So... Yeah, it's a big one.
It's a big one. I don't remember exactly. I remember it's killer, but I don't remember exactly what it sounds like. So I'm very excited.
It's weird that the title is Tracy, because
does he not say it in the song?
He does, but if I had to put a title on it, it would be Trouble.
Okay,
you'll see. Now, no, it's not a mint copy. It's like a VG minus copy. But
hey, if it plays, it plays.
5 copies sold in the last 10 years.
Yeah, so, it's an expensive record.
Very rare record. Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
What is your little thing on the label? Right, so, of course, come on.
So, R&B New Breed Bomb, Barry's first single. Rare.
Barry's first single. He's on a first name basis.
Yeah, so, yeah. But it's from not 1964.
So,
do you want to say the name of the group? Because it's not.
No,
Barry
no, no.
White.
Well, no. That's just the Flip.
The Flip is a different band. Oh, that's
confusing. Well, it's Barry White and the Atlantics.
Right.
Oh, produced by Bobby Gross. You should have said so, my cousin Bobby Gross.
That's on the Pharaoh?
Pharaoh Productions. So it's a Los Angeles label from Hollywood. Pharaoh, who else was.
Farmer John on that?
Yes.
Label?
Yeah. You really do know your shit.
Who does that? And the guy's pictures are on the label. Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. The Premier's Farmer John was first released locally in LA on the Pharaoh label. Mm-hmm. This is obviously before they did the pictures, but there's a another big mod R&B record on the Pharaoh label with the guy's pictures on it. Oh man, do you have it? I feel like maybe Ty Jesso or Jonathan Tobin. I've seen them play. It's I'm in love with you. No, because
that's
Farmer John.
That's Farmer John.
No, there's another record on that label with the guy's faces. It's like a big mod R&B record.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Do you have it, right?
I don't.
But you know what I'm talking about. Because it sounds like Farmer John, but it's like... I'm in love with your daughter.
I'm in love with your daughter. Yeah, I'm in love with your daughter.
The song's literally called I'm in Love with Your Daughter.
But it's a different song for Farmer John.
Wait, it might...
Is it this song?
It might be the Atlantic... No, it's not. The something... Anyway, it's not...
All right.
I'm gonna remember while
with an E, the eccentrics, the explosions, God, I can't think of it. Anyhow, obviously this label was doing some really cool stuff. So you said this record's from 64?
64.
Barry White and the Atlantic. So it's kind of crazy to think that Barry White was making records like
did he do anything between that? And
He did. A lot of, if I'm not mistaken, like production and writing stuff. Oh. And I'm seeing this song's written by Chick Carlton. And Chick Carlton, too, was another guy in the LA scene. I've got other R&B records by and whatnot. What's crazy to think is, like, this record, 64, and, like, you know, Barry White was huge, and, like, it took, like, 13 years. It was in the late 70s with My Darling, I Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Baby. Whacking Day on The Simpsons for our Simpsons fans out there. Hold on. Are you doing your research?
The Enchantments.
I told you it was something.
The Enchantments.
And what's it called? I'm In Love With Your Daughter?
Yeah.
Oh. So that's funny. It's very like similar.
In, I guess. I don't know. Farmer John's first.
Yeah. Farmer.
But the label is a bit different. The Pharaoh has a different font.
Yeah, and the color's different.
There's a blue and there's a orange and white.
Right. I know the guy's face is on it.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
I just like Farmer John.
It's a mod soul classic.
What does he say at the beginning of Fire? Anybody looking for kosher pickle Harry? If you've seen him, tell him Herbert's looking for him.
Is that how that song starts?
Yeah. Farmer John. Yeah, he says that at the beginning. Anyhow.
Classic.
So let's hear what Barry White...
You're going to recognize his voice right away.
Hey, Tracy. I wonder if he sounds
no
like...
Tracy.
Can't get enough of Tracy.
Can't get enough of Tracy. All right, Barry White from 64.
My baby said, don't you know
your love is all I have?
Don't you know
your love is all I need?
Daddy, don't you know
your love is all I have?
Well,
lost all I have is you.
Now here I am all alone in the dark, tears running down my eyes. I've got to know if you're an angel or devil in disguise. Well, ain't that funny what a dream would do. Again, she said, oh, don't you know your love?
So we were talking off mic, and Sam, you did pick up when Tracy is mentioned.
Yeah, we were just saying, where does he say Tracy? He says, go get him, Tracy.
Go hit on Tracy. Or was it go ahead? Tracy. And it's like right when he says that, it's like, oh yeah, that's Barry White.
That's definitely
like
Barry
it sounds
White.
Like yeah, that's oh man, that is woo. That was a good record.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about just raw, gritty, down in the dungeon. Rhythm and blues music, like, I'm glad that so many of these things just exist, you know, and it's just so cool that obviously that to hear, you know, a voice that is so recognizable, you know, a good,
right. You
a,
do
a,
recognize
a good,
Barry,
a good almost, you know, 15 years before he became like a household name or whatnot. But yeah, that's just a wicked good record. Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounded better than I remembered, you know,
considering the condition. I mean, it looks like it's sat unsleeved for a while somewhere, but you always got to think it's like, man, where did this thing sit for the last 60 years? You know, like, probably in some basement in Fresno, California. You know, there's probably people down there making meth and bath salts and a box of 45s. I'm sorry,
you went dark.
Go ahead on, Tracy. Knew that delivery. Yeah, my mind often just goes to the most foul place. But it's interesting, you know, like listening to that after hearing Mr. Oracle of Love before, and just kind of like the two opposite ends of that kind of new breed R&B spectrum that we talk about, like in the DJ world, where you can have such a...
And we were talking about that cool scale.
Well, just like, you know, just how you can have such a polished, you know, very...
orchestral.
Orchestral with, you know, a room full of guys in suits playing violas and violins, and then this gritty rhythm and blues thing that's just a couple of guys in a basement somewhere, probably, and how, interestingly, those two records kind of fit into...
the same genre.
Into the same genre, in a sense. So it's kind of interesting to kind of hear both sides of that, but
I think that record definitely speaks to what Pat was saying before, how, like, you know, if you talk about that Marty Hill Records... Most people would think it's cool, but some people might not. But that record right there is just like, that is just
It's just like, pure raw, it's just greasy, unreal. Again, where I could see like the kind of schmaltz, because again, with like the Marty Hill thing, kind of comparing him to like a Paul Anka, where it's like Canadian guy goes down to the U.S. to look for success. And it's just like, I don't know. I think maybe Sam and I, like you and I, kind of just like have such an affinity for Marty Hill that we just... think it's even cooler than it is, but it's so cool.
It's cool, but it's this is awesome. Awesome.
But again,
really cool.
It's two kinds of cool. And go get him, Tracy. Go ahead on, Tracy. Anyway,
it was worth every penny, in my opinion.
I'm sure.
And I hope. And the thing is, it was probably a lot of pennies. Speaking of black men with beautiful kind of that baritone-y voice. This next one I want to play for you, Pat, is by Otis Blackwell. And Otis Blackwell, kind of going back, like he wrote Daddy Rolling Stone, which Derek Martin did, which is like kind of a big mod classic. And then, you know, The Who covered it. Talk about mod. And he like wrote songs for Elvis and was kind of like doing stuff all throughout the 50s. So interestingly, this is a record from 1970, and I found it in a box of like all these kind of Columbia and Epic, like honky, junky, country. I shouldn't say they're junky. To us, they're junky. Because the thing is, like, we always joke about when you're looking for soul records, you'll see a guy's like, ooh, his name is Jeff Thompson. It's like, that could go either way. He's either the whitest country singer you've ever heard, or it's, you know, some killer Northern soul record. But I'm going through this box, and I see Otis Blackwell, and I'm like, I didn't think he ever made a country record. But I know that he wrote for Elvis, so it's like, huh, where's this gonna go? And where I think it's gonna go is right into your DJ box.
Whoa, nice one.
Oh my god, yeah, that's my Rick Harrison from from Pawn Stars voice. You ever notice on those, they always talk the same on that show. It's like, I'm gonna buy this for my pawn shop because I'm Rick Harrison. It's always like there's a comma between every word. Do you still watch that show ever?
No.
You know, did you
No, I can't stand those guys anymore.
Taryn and I were obsessed with that show when it first came out. Like
I was,
ago.
But I, you know, never go online and learn how fake a reality TV show is.
Oh, that show, apparently it's not even actually filmed in the pawn shop, because it's illegal in the state of Nevada to film in a pawn shop. So it's filmed on a set that just looks like a pawn shop.
Because I've been there.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a line out the door?
There's a line out the door, and you just walk in, and basically they have t-shirts for sale in merch.
Oh yeah, and you can buy like a $1 bill that has like Chumlee's face on it or something.
But you,
for $2.
You won't find any good collectibles for sale.
The whole thing disillusioned
completely.
I'm disenchanted by but God, that one show that was even crazier was that Hardcore Pawn show about the pawn shop.
Yeah, you talked to me about this
show. Oh yeah, man, I went to that pawn shop like four times every time I went to Detroit, because it's this old ponytail, this old Jewish man with a leather coat on named Les Gold, and he's just like this gangster looking guy, and him and his family run this pawn shop on 8 Mile. I've gone in there a couple of times, and it's
were they there?
Oh yeah, they're just there. I was just like, that's the guy from the show. Yeah, anyhow, I'm like the only person on earth who made a pilgrimage to a pawn shop in Detroit.
Well, anyway, we can talk about pawn shops all day, but I want to hear this Otis Blackwell.
Yeah, let's do Otis Blackwell. It's All Over Me. Pat, I really think you're gonna dig this one. Ooh.
It's all over me. It's all over me. If you think that I joke, kiss me and watch my smoke. It's all over me.
Kind of sounds like Elvis, eh?
It's very indicative of 1970 with the wah-wah guitar.
Yeah, I love that guitar.
It's getting kind of funkier, funky. but it's still got like the beat of like a mid-60s Motown record.
That's what's interesting about it. It's like
I'm handing it over like you're taking it.
Oh, that's weird. On the B side, there's no the triangle.
Well, that was the A side.
Yeah.
The Epic promos did that a lot. A lot of the British promos look like that too. Yeah. But yeah, and his voice again. It's like it that would pair well with Rubberneckin' by Elvis.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That would like go really well. And stop looking, listen, baby. It's all over me. And if you speed that one up a bit, because it's in B flat, you speed it up and get it to the key of C, and it'll be in the same key as the Elvis song, and it'll really go well together.
Okay.
Calm down.
Yeah, I like it. It even has the date on it.
Yeah, what's it, like August 1970 or something?
Yeah.
Came right from a radio station somewhere, where obviously it was a country radio station, and it's just like, this one kind of just fell in. I was hoping because it was all these Epic and Columbia records that there'd be a copy of Cuz You're Mine by the Vibrations, but no such luck.
Yeah, on the yellow label.
God, I love that record.
I was trying to look at if I had Otis Blackwell. I don't seem to have one.
I don't think besides this one, I don't think I have anything else by him, because most of the records, because he recorded the original version of Daddy Rolling Stone, but it was like 1954. I don't think he made a lot of records throughout the 60s. Like, he worked as a songwriter and a producer, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm just pretending like I know what I'm talking about. And if it sounds convincing enough, people will just believe it.
Well, it's good enough to.
Do you want to do one more? Do you want to do one more?
Yeah, oh, sure.
All right. Now taking it back
to Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Now taking it back to kind of. I think this record's from like 59. 60. This is what I call a Little Richard impersonation record, because it just seemed like any black guy at a piano who made a record between like 1956 and 1960 was just trying to be the next Little Richard. But that works, because it just ends up with a lot of really good dance records. And this is a tune called You Better Dig It.
So I should have had this last Saturday, because I DJed. Actually went out and DJed.
Oh my God, back in the real world. Yeah, I saw. So what was it, like a rockabilly night?
Think of a mod going to DJ a rockabilly night. That was,
I picture a knife fight.
So yeah, it was a
Vespas versus Harley Davidson.
The opening act was a band from Ottawa called the Obsidians, a really great surf instrumental band.
Cool, yeah.
They were great. I really dug them,
whatever.
It was great. And the main act was the Luckies, and they do great rockabilly type country-ish and a little bit of rock and roll R&B thrown in there.
So what did you bring to DJ, like kind of more,
you know, obscure R&B? Yeah, basically. And that would have been perfect. I haven't listened, you haven't even heard
this yet, but it would have been perfect. So this is on the Talos record label. I believe it's from Memphis. No, I lied. Because it's Bill Johnson and the Four Steps of Rhythm, and it literally just says Augusta, Georgia underneath it. So this is from Augusta, Georgia, the hometown of Otis Redding. Which makes sense, because I'm pretty sure Little Richard was that from that part of the world, too. So this is probably just some kid who saw Little Richard in concert a ton of times. Kind of just like what Otis Redding was. When Otis Redding started out, he was just shout bam lama, just trying to sound like, you know,
I actually DJ'd that.
There you go. That's the perfect. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So yeah, I think you'll see what I mean when I say Little Richard wannabe, but I think it's got a little something special to it. So you better dig it.
You better dig it, you hear?
I dig.
It's like textbook Little Richard with the woo, you know.
Yeah. If you close your eyes, it's hard to tell the difference.
But it does. It's really good. It's yep. Got.
That's great. What that had me thinking of is, like, where did that, like, kind of like, that's in so many songs. Where does that come from? Like, that sounded so familiar.
It's just the 12 bars.
It's just like blues. It's just a classic.
It's what we call a 1-4-5. So it's like, in this particular case, this record was in the key of F.
Oh, thank you.
So it goes F, 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 and then it goes B, B flat, 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 then back F, 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 F,
F for fuzzy,
and then it goes C, 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 B flat, B flat, B flat, B flat, F. It's just like those. That's all of rock and roll.
Nice,
all of it. That's the whole thing.
Cool.
Yeah, that's about it. You really never needed more than three chords to be good. But funny enough, because it's like it kind of goes back to like old boogie woogie stuff. I mean, like there's recordings from like the 1910s that are you know they kind of just made sense of it. You know, like if you listen to like blues recordings from the 20s, like they're following the same pattern.
Right. So. Yeah, found a formula. And
it's all related. It's just the way it is. It's just rock and roll. It's like that thing in Family Guy where it's like. They're like, it's like some flashback, and it's like rock and roll was only created 5 minutes ago, but we already remember it fondly. It's like, here's Little Richard with piano riff, woo, woo, and like that's the whole thing.
So, but it works.
Hey, it works. Did it work? So wow, three winners out of my box and into your life today.
Well, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Speaking
time. Of I don't know what the hell that was.
Speaking of Christmas, I have to give a shout out to the OG of modcasts, Mr. Suave from the very popular Mr. Suave's Mod World. I was asked to participate and offer, Christmas wishes, holiday wishes. NH holiday track, and I've been invited to offer my favorite holiday track for a few years now, and I did a little special. I also gave away the secret ingredients to my famous Fuzzy Martini. So if you want to hear all the ingredients.
If you want to hear how Pat gets drunk every morning before he goes to teach children.
Of course. And if you wanted to hear my selection, my selection was John Greer doing a track called I Want to See Santa Do the Mambo. Can't get like more mod than that.
I Want to See Santa. Because the thing is, there's only so many, Christmassy tracks.
Right. You have to dig deep to find the obscure.
Well, because there's just like on Atlantic or Stax or Motown, you know, kind of like the really obvious ones. But, yeah, they gotta be out there.
Oh, you have to dig.
You gotta dig.
You have to dig.
You better dig it.
Oh yeah. So check out the Christmas episode coming out soon.
What's the show called again? It's a Mod World.
Mr. Suave's Mod World.
Isn't that a song? It's a Mod World.
Yep.
Is that the Jam? Who does
that?
No,
that's a.
It's a great song.
Yeah, that's a mod revival anthem.
Yeah, it's like an '80s.
Yeah.
80s band, yeah. Well, anyway, it seems like we've come to that point in the show where we bid each other farewell and we go frolic in the snow outside because it's gross out there on this December Eve in Montreal. But Sam, you wouldn't know anything about that because you're from Vancouver.
Yeah, we don't get snow. Actually, we have gotten snow already.
Yeah. It's the perfect place to live where it's like it's beautiful and like.
Well, except we've also had like a tornado, forest fires.
And literally can't drive out of the province because like the highways are underwater. So
all's not sunny in Vancouver. Right now.
No, it's never really that sunny there.
No, it's also been raining for 4 months.
It's a bit of a mess. Yeah.
But Sam, why don't you plug your great Instagram account where I learn a lot.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
Because you speaking of digging deep, you go deep into a record.
Yeah.
You research your stuff.
It's kind of obscene. Even I think it's nuts.
Oh, no.
And I'm nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I think it's very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'll give a quick plug to my Instagram page. It is Canadian 45s, and surprise, surprise, I post Canadian 45s.
Great name. Where did you get that name for your Instagram account? That's such a great name.
I don't know, some schmuck. I don't really remember. No, Ben's been telling me for years.
I'm like, you should start an Instagram account just called Canadian 45.
Yeah, and I never had Instagram. I never got around to it. Then during the pandemic, I was bored, and I'm like, I have all these records. I should probably do something with them.
Yeah.
So I posted.
People love it, man. People are always telling me, they're like, oh my god, like your brother's posts are fantastic. I'm like, yeah, like the depth you go to.
Yeah, I get a lot of pleasure out of I pick a record out of my collection and I do some research and I do a little blurb. I try to share and I post a picture of the 45. And a clip of at least a minute or maybe 2 minutes of it. And yeah, it's a fun little passion of mine. If you're interested in music from it's all like 50s, 60s, 70s music, a lot of the same stuff you'd hear on this podcast.
That is correct.
And it's all Canadian. So there's actually a wealth of Canadian music to be discovered. So if you're interested.
Yeah, so
in that,
to all of our American listeners, you're not allowed. No, I'm kidding.
No,
please,
if you're American, I encourage you to come take a look at the Canadian stuff.
Come learn about the Canadian. Pat, you and I always. We always end up going into Canadian music on the show. I mean, even today, how many Montreal-related records did we play today? You know, I feel like almost every episode we feature something from our beautiful province of Quebec or something from Montreal. You know, you and I are big fans of the Canadian stuff, but you're like the new me.
In the small subsection that is Canadian, when it comes to soul stuff, you're still the you. It's still you. You're the old and the new you. But thank you, Pat. Thanks.
You're becoming a reference, and I highly recommend you checking out Canadian
45. I highly
45.
Recommend it as well. Much. Come learn about Canadian music because we're cool Canadian people, and come listen to some records.
Except that we're going to finish with an American record. That I recently picked.
I really hope it's
picked up.
I hope it's a Christmas record.
It's not a Christmas record. Sorry about that. It's a classic girl group, Northern Soul. It's from 1967. As soon as I'm going to show you the label, you're going to
know what it is.
Know what it is, probably.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to guess without even seeing it.
All right.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
So you said girl group Northern Soul record from 1967.
Mm-hmm.
The Jelly Beans.
Nope.
Fuck. that would have been really cool if it was that.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to tell you, did you see the label?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think it is?
Is it The Fascinations?
Yes, it is.
Is it Girls Are Out to Get You?
Yep.
Oh, great. Oh, wow. That's one of my favorites. I love that song.
Yeah. Well, it's a classic, isn't it?
You only got this recently?
I just got it like at the same time as Tracy.
I've had countless copies of this record.
Well, it's not something you automatically think you're going to
have.
No. Because it's a common record, but I didn't have it, and it's such a great track.
It's an absolute classic. I, of course, have it on Canadian quality.
Ooh. Of course.
Tell me more
and
about
it's
that.
It's on
Mayfield Records.
Mayfield Records.
Courtesy of Curtis Mayfield.
Who is the producer, I believe?
Producer, songwriter, his label. Yeah. What a great way to end the show. A phenomenal song. And anyhow, check out Sam, Canadian 45s. Check out Pat and I, our Instagram, Addicted to the Needle. Like our Facebook page. Do all the stuff. Go on iTunes and rate us because that's the
That'd
thing.
Be a great Christmas present.
You should do that. You should all do that. I'm on Instagram, Shulman the Soul Man. Pat.
Parka Avenue everywhere.
And hey, you know what's always fun around this time of year? Buying records and putting money into my pocket. The company sleeve on Discogs. I've got like 9,000 45s for sale, more than I ever needed in my entire life. So why don't you buy your loved one a G copy of Get Rhythm by Johnny Cash? I've got loads of those coming out of my ass. We got records, people! Yeah, so Canadian 45s. Thanks, thanks for being here, Sam. This is super fun.
Let's make it an
what
annual
a fun surprise.
Thing.
Yeah,
and we'll make it an annual thing. The Hanukkah Christmas Shulman Fwazi Connection Show.
Yeah,
and
I won't give you a TV every year though.
Yeah, next year I need a new stove. All right. Anyhow, thanks again. That was like crazy. I've got a television. I can watch TV in my basement. I can watch Max Stevens on YouTube on my television. Is it a smart TV?
No.
Oh, okay, well, I don't want it.
that's exactly why I upgraded.
That's exactly why I'm giving it to you.
No, that's why I bought a new one.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Girls Are Out to Get You by The Fascinations on Mayfield from 1967. Chicago, what a sound.
And keep on keeping on.